You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
G'day everyone, my name is Rick, and in the space of just one Sunday, the world has changed again. How are you adjusting to the speed and regularity of change? Major shifts in culture and major shifts in how we do life. It can be unsettling and it can be exhausting. And of course, we must never forget the traumatic impact this pandemic is having on the nation. Many, many have lost loved ones. Many are facing uncertain futures in terms of education and employment. And our prayers are continually for all who have been impacted. And whilst never minimizing that terrible impact, in these coming months, we also have an opportunity to reflect on how we've been living, an opportunity to reflect on the call of God on your life to be His disciple and go and make disciples, an opportunity to pour out your life into the service of others, an opportunity to show grace, love, mercy, and compassion to those around you. These past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the first two aspects of being part of Jubilee Church. 2 weeks ago, I looked at loving God, and last week, Nathan did a great job in helping us to understand what it means to love others. The third aspect of being Jubilee Church is loving life. We as a community, as a family, want to love God, love others, and love life. Loving life, what does it mean? I remember a conversation with someone who was interested in Jubilee Church and was thinking of making it their regular church. And he came and he asked me, what did the church mean about loving life when Jesus says in John 12:25, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life? I had never thought of it in this light before, and it was a powerful reminder that we need to be as clear about things such as this as we possibly can. And so to that end, I want to spend our time today looking at what we do mean by loving life. So then, what is this life we are talking about and encouraging all of us to love? It's a good question to ask because there are competing versions of what the good life is. Our culture displays multiple versions of the good life. A quick search on Google for what the good life is brings up an array of ideas. They generally involve a high level of personal financial security, personal wealth accumulation, practicing an examined life, not doing harm to others, nurturing relationships, the love of nature, being responsible, control what you can and don't stress about what you cannot. There's generally something along those lines. This idea of the good life, as culture defines it, is often portrayed in statements like these ones that I found. A good life is when your outlook is more good than bad, when life is generally a blessing, not a burden. A good life is one in which we feel loved. A good life has you feeling success. A good life allows you to laugh and feel joy. A good life holds beauty. A good life has you putting into every week some things you love to do. Now, from one perspective, you could look at that list and say, yeah, that makes sense, and that even sounds like the good life to me. And yet, is it that life that we're talking about when we're encouraging everyone at Jubilee Church Farnham to love life? Let's turn to John's Gospel to get started. John chapter 5 and verse 26 says this, For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So it's really important to understand that this life we are talking about is the life that comes from God. God the Father has life in himself. He is the author of life, and he has granted to the Son to also have life in himself. The life we are talking about here then is not so much a journey in self-discovery or self-mastery, but discovering the one who is life itself. The emphasis is not on self, but on God, realizing that life is not within us, but in him. Now, that is not to say that we are not all on a journey. We absolutely are. But what is different here is realizing that our end goal, our destination, is not discovered within, but rather in him. It's discovering we cannot perform our way to that destination. We cannot attain a certain level of self-mastery that God will be bowled over by. It's recognizing that our journey into this life does not begin with doing, but with receiving. Because of the impact of sin in our world and in our lives, we have forfeited our relationship and right standing with God. In the beginning, God created humankind in his image so that we would be his people, his family, and he would be our God. A loving God who has disclosed himself as Father. We were made by God and for God. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, St. Augustine, the wonderful North African brother of the late 4th century, put it this way: "You made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." The impact of sin means we are separated from God, and on our own we cannot restore that relationship. Yet because God is a loving Father, he has sent the Son of God, who has life in himself, to redeem us, to pay our debt, to bridge the gap that we were unable to bridge ourselves. On the cross of Christ, Jesus paid your debt, paid for your sin, and in doing so, he has reopened the gate to life. This means that for all of those who recognize that Jesus did that for them, that because Jesus died on the cross, your sins are forgiven, that Jesus rose in real life on the third day after his death and now lives forever. Everyone who believes that can enter through Jesus, the gate, into that life. And maybe that is you today. You've tuned in today and you've been searching for the good life. We're all searching for it in one sense, aren't we? I haven't met anyone who has come up to me and said, "I'm really searching for the worst life." There seems to be something inside of us, deep in our essence, which resonates with the idea that there is such a thing as the good life out there, and we should search for it. If that is you, and as of yet you have not discovered that life is found in Jesus, then today is your opportunity to receive what the Bible describes as a gift. You see, you don't need to go away for a 3-month self-improvement course and come back when you're in better shape. No, you simply need to open your hands ready to receive a gift. You see, Christmas morning still lingers in our minds. That joy and delight at someone passing you a gift. Our arms are open and we simply receive it. You then open up, you delight in what's inside. And that is what God the Father wants to do for you today, give you the gift of life in the gift of Jesus Christ. And nothing is stopping you today. Open your arms, open your heart, and let the Holy Spirit show you, reveal to you the truth that Jesus died on the cross for you, that he rose again, displaying that he is God's chosen one and our Messiah, and that he has defeated death. Turn away from your old life without God. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And turn to God, accepting the gift of life in Jesus Christ. And that is where it all begins. Life, the true good life, is found in God through the gift of Jesus Christ. And once we walk through that gate, once we receive that gift of life, it all begins. It's just the start, not the end of the journey. You know, sometimes I wonder and I think, wouldn't it have been easier if that was the end of the journey? We come to know Jesus as the true Savior. That revelation has been granted to us by the Holy Spirit. And then the whole process is done. Wouldn't it have been easier for everyone if we find Jesus and be instantly fully Christ-like and live the rest of our lives from there? You know, some days I wish that were the case. And whilst it may be easier, would it be for our best? Well, given God hasn't chosen to work things out that way, my only conclusion is that the instant transformation is not for our best. Maybe easier, but maybe not wiser. Now, I should make one thing clear at this point. There is an instant and complete transformation that does happen at the point where we receive the gift of life in Jesus Christ. And that is in our relationship with God the Father and in our standing before Him. At the moment we receive Jesus as Lord, we are instantly and fully restored back into relationship with God the Father. No longer are we strangers, expelled from God's presence, but rather we are welcomed home as sons and daughters who now stand in His presence, wrapped, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And what this means is that when God welcomes us back home, He looks at us, He loves us, He relates to us and responds to us as He does to Jesus. It's mind-boggling. It doesn't make sense on one level, and it is the utter scandal of grace. In giving the gift of Christ to humanity, God the Father is not some sort of Santa Claus figure who has written out a list of those who do and don't get the gift based on who's naughty and who's nice. We don't deserve to be welcomed back in this way. Yet because Jesus has paid the price for us, we are welcomed back this way. And our relationship with God is restored, and our standing with God always and forever is based on Jesus' victory and not, thank goodness, our performance. So good day, bad day, duvet day, Rona rage day, sad day, best day ever, whatever happens for the rest of your life, your standing with God will not change because it's based on Jesus' performance and not yours. It won't be a better standing on your best day ever, and it won't be a lesser standing on your worst day ever, because it's not based on you, it's based on Jesus. And His performance was perfect, His victory was perfect, His life was perfect, and He has done it all for you and for me. What it does mean is that God's gift to you in Christ Jesus is the beginning. The gift is free and powerful. Something we do not earn, yet it's utterly transformative. Not based on how naughty or nice we are, but it invites us into abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Is this not the definition of the good life? Jesus has come to give us life and have it to the full. It's an abundant life. Don Carson, the theologian and scholar, describes it this way. It means that the life Jesus' true disciples enjoy is not to be construed just simply as more time to fill in the sense of merely everlasting life, but that it is scarcely it, but the life as it is scarcely imagined best. It is the best life to be lived. That sounds like a good life to me, a life to love. Now, because there are many competing versions of the good life out there, many visions that are continually painted for us in movies, in commercials, in magazines, what I want to do is delve a bit deeper into what Jesus means by having life to the full. Firstly, it's a life propelled by the love of God. 1 John 4, verse 9 to 11 puts it this way. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, we see this wonderful focus on living through Jesus, and that it happened because God loved us first, not that we loved God. So this abundant life that we've been gifted is a life lived out of the experience and reality of being loved by God first. It's a life propelled by the love of God. Secondly, it's a life marked by Christ-like self-denial. In a world where self-determination, self-mastery, and where self is made God, here Jesus says that the way to abundant life is to deny oneself. In Mark 8, 34 and 35, Jesus tells his disciples, and he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." What does picking up one's cross look like today for you? What does denying oneself mean in a pandemic? Importantly, this is not some form of severe self-discipline or self-loathing. That ends up just putting the focus back on ourselves. No, this is displacing the self and replacing it with a focus on Christ. It looks to Christ, following him, learning to walk in his ways, learning to live in his ways. It's living out what Jesus explained to us in his famous Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5 through 7. I don't have time to go into all of that today, but in those chapters, you'll discover how to live following Jesus, how to deny yourself, how to pick up your cross, and how to live an abundant life. It may not be the way you thought abundant life would or even should be described, but that's what Jesus was getting at when he called us to deny ourselves. Finally, this life we encourage everyone at Jubilee to love is a life poured out in service to God and others. In Philippians 2, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul says this, "But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Paul was pouring his life out as an offering in service and sacrifice to others, and he encouraged the Philippian believers to do the same. There is a joy and a rejoicing that is found in a life of sacrifice and service. It often sounds bewildering to us. A life of service is also a life full of great joy and rejoicing. It can sound a bit baffling. And yet we see in Jesus, we see it in Paul, and we see it in the many saints that have come down through history, their great joy in lives being poured out in the service of others. This isn't a promise of an easy life. It's a promise of an abundant life. And Jesus prayed, and we are able to pray also, not my will be done, but your will be done. This kind of life takes courage and faith. It takes courage and faith to believe it. And again, it all starts with experiencing and knowing the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and the acceptance of God in Jesus Christ. Yet once entered into, what a life it can be, and what a life to be lived. And the beauty of it is that you can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. This type of life is not set aside for certain believers. No, this is for each one of us, right in the life He has placed us in. You begin to experience the wonder of God's plan for your life. You begin to develop a deep love for others as you enter into this life. You begin to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and how He lived. You begin to discover brothers and sisters who come alongside you and journey with you through this life. You get to partner with the Holy Spirit, being the hands and feet of Jesus in the life of others around you. You get to live out your purpose and the plan that God the Father has created for you. A life full of love, a life full of worship, a life full of sacrifice, and a life full of service. It is the abundant life. It is a joyful, meaningful life, and it is a purposeful life. It is a life worth living. It's the very reason we encourage every one of us here at Jubilee Church to love life. As the leaders of Jubilee Church Farnham, our prayer for everyone that calls Jubilee home is that you love life, the abundant life God has provided to you in the gift of Jesus Christ. Loving God, loving others, and loving life. Bless you, and this week, see how you can enter more into the life Jesus purchased for you. Amen.